go.
Welcome to Raw is
OG.
Ash, man, you know the fuck it is. Nigga, play on me, man.
DJ, hit me. Yeah, sir, what's poppin' with y'all? Welcome back to another motherfucking episode of the Thin Line Between Genius and Insanity podcast, hosted by yours truly, OG. Now, spin that fucking block, man. It's a Saturday recording, so you know what that means. You know what that means.
Wow.
I'm feeling great today. Spin that block, man. Let me know your boys always been.
For the bitches,
man. I've always been the flyest, highest, coolest, smoothest host of them all. OG! Ash, who the fuck it is, man? What's up with the people all around the world? What's poppin' with y'all, man? Hope you're out there looking good, feeling good, staying safe. It's a whole lot of shit going on in the trench, man. I tell you shit each and every episode. I want to shout out to everybody around the world that's tapped and joined the conversation. I truly appreciate all love and support, man. Keep building this empire brick by motherfucking me brick. I want to shout out to everybody, man, that's tapped on all DSPs, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, et cetera, man. Rate, review the show. Get this show in the right hands, man. Tell a friend, OG actually got a motherfucking me show. It's a whole lot of shit I want to get into, man. It's a whole lot I want to get into, man. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. You know, I've always been one to take pride in, you know, learning lessons from other people. You know, so I see people fuck shit up and they go through tumultuous situations. I've always learned from said person's mistakes. I take pride in not having to go through shit myself. You know what I mean? It's always been alarming to me the amount of people who didn't learn from other people's mistakes or didn't learn from their own motherfucking mistakes.
Wow.
And on the other hand, you have those people who go through things and that either they get a slap on the wrist and they don't learn from that, or you get the people who get a slap on the wrist and you assume or you hope that they learn from that. And on this episode 190, by the way, on the grind 200. Oh my
God. Wow.
This shit not stopping for a motherfucking me soul, man. On the grind 200, man. We on the back end of phase two. This shit feels amazing. Episode 190, we in the motherfucking me building. Who would have fucking thunk it, bitch? And while I'm saying this, I got the motherfucking me game on the big screen, man. Alabama versus Georgia. Roll Tide. Let's get it.
Wow.
But in this episode 190, we're going to get maybe one or two, maybe even three gentlemen who got slaps on the wrist. One who you would hope learns from his opportunity, and one who you clearly can identify didn't learn from that opportunity at second chance. I want to go ahead and jump the podcast off with this Von Miller situation. You know, this Von Miller situation is quite motherfucking be interesting because Von Miller had an arrest warrant go out for him in regards to domestic violence and sexual assault and assault. It was very interesting because I was more so shocked at the response of the public. You know, Von Miller has a very, very credible, you know what I'm saying, reputation. You know, so he's a great football player. Everybody knows he's going to be in the Hall of Fame because of his play, Super Bowl MVP. He's a great football player. But Von Miller has had flaws in his character for years now. And it's interesting to me the amount of people who were surprised when this news broke. You had people in the comments saying something about some non-Von. It's not like Von being this type of news. Something got to be up. There was an arrest warrant issued for Von Miller. The arrest warrant had been issued in Dallas for Von Miller for allegedly assaulting a pregnant woman.
Wow.
On Wednesday, police responded to a major disturbance call with the preliminary investigation showing that Miller and the woman got into a verbal argument and that he had allegedly assaulted her.
Wow.
And a lot of people was like, no, it couldn't be Von. No, it's not like Von to be a part of no shit like this. Why Von?
Wow.
You know, because niggas know Von by wearing the fucking cowboy hats and shit like that, wearing them goofy ass glasses and shit. But it's interesting because, you know, I got a podcast. You know, I take pride in the stories and the shit that I cover on this podcast because, Yeah, I know a lot of people that got shows. And they talk about certain things. I know girls who just talk about the amount of dicks they suck. Or they bring guests on and talk about the amount of dicks they suck. I know girls who give, you know what I'm saying, big sister advice. I know dudes who give life advice. I know dudes who give motherfucking me motivational and fitness speeches and shit like that. I know people who got platforms for certain things. And me personally, I never knock nobody for sticking on one thing, but I never want to pigeonhole myself because I feel like I'm so great at what the fuck I do that I can talk about everything. People that know me in my personal life, no conversation is really ever the same. We can be talking about a whole bunch of shit. Sports, music, politics, nigga, everyday motherfucking me life. I give great motherfucking advice.
Wow.
So I never want to pigeonhole myself to just talking about one thing. So I take pride in the amount of things that I do cover on this platform. And on said platform, back on, let's say the date, it was January 7th of 2021. It was the first episode of 2021. We covered a lot of things on that episode. We covered the whole Capitol Hill situation. Remember when that was a thing? Why everybody in mainstream media was talking about what was going on Capitol Hill? Yeah, Hatch touched on that, but you also want to know what Hatch did. Hatch did his due diligence. Hatch wasn't motherfucking me, lazy motherfucking me analyzing shit and lazy motherfucking reporting on shit. I was doing my due diligence to bring you guys the best motherfucking me content. And on motherfucking me January 7th of 2021, I released an episode called Praying for the Misco.
Wow.
Praying for the Misco. And a lot of people probably didn't even know what the fuck I was talking about in that situation. What we covered on that episode, and who also was the cover art for that episode, was Von fucking Miller.
Wow.
And Von Miller on that episode was being covered because Von Miller had a text message that was revealed when he was talking to his baby mother at that time. When he was praying that the motherfucking me baby was lost. Well, and you seen how he was talking to Shorty. Von Miller was dogging Shorty ass the fuck out.
You wow.
Hatch, it probably ain't that bad. Look, I ain't gonna lie to you. As time went on, I thought maybe it wasn't that bad either until he started talking about, you know what I'm saying, praying for the motherfucking me baby to fucking die and shit like that. But it also was because the chick that he was having his baby with was a chick I had been following on social media for years. And the bitch was beautiful. Oh, my wow. God. So a part of me was hating on the nigga. But a part of me was actually identifying this nigga was a piece of shit. There's a lot of men out there that have babies with women they don't want to have babies with. But whenever you cross a line of uttering those words, you hope the baby dies and you pray for the baby's death and you hope this, that, and the third. That's just a part of the motherfucking me story I can't jive with. You know what I'm saying? I get it. It's a fucked up situation. But once you utter such words, I'm not saying you can't think certain shit. I ain't gonna never tell a motherfucker what to think. But once you utter such words, especially when you're a public figure, I feel like that should be held to that should hold some sort of motherfucking me weight. And to be honest with you, Von Miller skated through that.
Wow.
He skated right through that shit. And I wasn't surprised about that shit. It was much more bigger shit going on in the news. But Von Miller skated through that shit. Von Miller, I think, eventually went on to win another championship. Von Miller eventually went on to sign another huge-ass contract, although he was up in age. So I say all this to say, and I bring that old stuff up from over two years ago back up to say, I'm not surprised like the rest of you motherfuckers. I'm not sitting there trying to say the man did or he didn't. I wasn't there. I didn't see the shit. I don't know if he hit this woman or not. But I'm not surprised when just 2 years ago when I seen the messages of him saying some shit to one of his baby mothers. I don't know if it's the same woman or not, but I know what he said to her. And I know what he was praying for. I'm not surprised that 2 years later, in another situation, violence happened too. I'm not motherfucking me surprised. But also, there's an update in the story because Von Miller has turned himself in.
Wow.
You know, Von Miller just returned back to the field not too long ago due to a serious injury. Von Miller turned himself in after being accused of assaulting his longtime girlfriend Wednesday while at their home in Dallas. Now, I will say this. He says longtime girlfriend, so maybe this is the Megan chick. I don't fucking know. But how many times can allegations and stories come out about a motherfucker and their reputation don't take a hit?
Wow.
I'm not even sitting there trying to say, you know, I said nigga go to jail. But should he go to jail? Absolutely, if he put his hands on this woman. This is the same nigga that I just seen fucking lift motherfucking me left tackles off they motherfucking me feet with one motherfucking me hand. I just seen Von Miller do some shit. Cam Newton is a big nigga, bro.
Wow.
I just seen Von Miller make Cam Newton like a fucking baby. The same way I felt like when Greg Hardy was being accused of hitting chicks and throwing them on couches full of motherfucking me loaded assault rifles and shit like that. It's the same way I feel about Von Miller if he running around punching bitches. That's not right. It's not right. And in 2021, he's skated by these allegations. And like I said, maybe because it wasn't no physical threat being done. He didn't put his hands on or nothing like that. It was just text messages. But it's just something about text messages service. I ain't seen niggas getting in trouble for much less. Hey, I remember when I was younger and Brett Favre had the whole scandal for sending his dick pic to the motherfucking me team, massage lady.
Wow.
I mean, granted, sending unsolicited dick pics is crazy. Look, I ain't gonna lie to you. I've done it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I've sent the random dick pic, but it was at least the bitches I was freaky with. It was at least the bitches I know was gonna like the shit. I ain't never just sent the dick pic off to a random lady just trying to start some shit, initiate a motherfucking me thing. That's weird. That's a bit odd. But it's just like, you skated by with these motherfucking me messages, bro. Now, 2 years later, there's an alleged assault that's actually taking place. I'm sorry, man. Von Miller's career, his reputation has to take a hit. Them niggas kept T.O. out the Hall of Fame for nothing. Them niggas kept T.O. out the Hall of Fame for nothing. You got fucking Chad Johnson running around this bitch with a fake Hall of Fame jacket still.
Wow.
I mean, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I know Chad Johnson ain't got no motherfucking me Jerry Rice, T.O., Randy Moss type career. But damn, I mean, when it comes to fucking impact on the game and legacy-wise, it ain't too many niggas that didn't play the wide receiver position that motherfuckers love more than Chad Johnson. It's Chad Johnson and Ocho Cinco, nigga. It's two different ones. Same guy. That's 8-24. But it's just like real shit. I can say them keep niggas out the Hall of Fame for a lot less. And if this nigga not at least going to be going to jail and facing some criminal charges, this nigga got at least take a hit professionally. We can't be talking about this nigga motherfucking me presence off the end. You know what? If this shit is true, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Michael Parsons better than Von Miller.
Wow.
I'm just saying, man. I've seen niggas' careers take hits. And I know, you know, so you may bring up the whole Big Ben shit, but nigga, Kobe only got one MVP. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. Kobe only got one MVP because of the motherfucking me Denver shit. That's why Kobe only got one. I've seen niggas' career take a lot more hits. Nigga, John Morant got suspended for months for waving around a fake gun. Fuck that. Fuck that. He missed out on $30 million. That nigga, he can miss out on all awards this season. You know they gonna fucking hold that shit against him for the next 3, 4, 5 years unless he go win a chip or some shit. Fuck that. Nah, fuck that. Von Miller can't go to the Hall of Fame. Fuck that for at least, you know what I'm saying, the first 10 years after his career. Fuck that. Fuck that. Make that nigga wait. Put that nigga on the reserve list. I don't give a fuck what you gotta do. It's something about niggas who mistreat women, bro. I just don't get it. Like, look, bro, I'm not finna sit here and act like I'm the best dude. I'm the best dude. None of that shit. A lot of times, bro, I think I do the bare minimum shit. I really do. And it's not by choice. It's not by force. It's nothing about that. It's about time and resource type shit. It's about time, resource, how much I value a motherfucker. That's just as real as I can be about the situation. But a lot of times when I come across these chicks, bro, and on some real shit, my bare minimum to them be the most they've ever motherfucking received.
Wow.
And a lot of times, bro, I sit back like, damn, like, damn. And then you hear the stories about how They asses was beating their asses and all. It's like, damn, like, I just never understand. I just don't understand it, bro. And a lot of the softest niggas I know be the niggas you know be putting their hands on women. And I ain't sitting there saying, you know what I'm saying, shit don't happen. But shit like that can't really happen. It gotta be some motherfucking self-defense. You defending your kids, defending your mama, like something like that. But you just slapping a woman up because what, nigga? She won the motherfucking me argument? She was right, she was wrong type shit? Like, I don't know, man. It really bothers me when I hear these stories, bro. Especially by niggas who be fucking gigantic, because it puts a bad reputation on niggas like myself. You know, it be chicks telling me like, I'm intimidating, bro. Like,
wow.
That shit don't feel good to hear. That shit don't feel good to hear when a chick tell you she's like, I have an intimidating presence. I don't like shit like that, because in 2023, bro, like I was telling y'all in last episode, man, we have to be careful, man. We have to be careful. I don't ever want to be in a situation with a chick and she doing some shit because, you know what I'm saying, her past is sketchy with niggas, you know what I'm saying? Niggas in the rock bottom this bitch for putting too much sugar in their Frosted Flakes or something like that. And she just doing shit for me because I'm 6'4". I'm 6'4", 275. I don't want that. That don't make me feel good. That don't make me feel securing my position in this relationship or situationship, whatever the fuck is going on. But I've had women tell me that. And when you hear stories about these niggas and who play balls, presumably football, and hey, I'm gonna get into basketball a little bit later as well. When you hear these stories about these athletes, you hear these stories about these big imposing figures of men putting their hands on women, the shit is alarming. I'm not saying, you know, women ain't loose with the tongue these days. I'm not saying that the dynamics of relationships have changed ginormously, you know what I'm saying, in a lot of these relationships when it comes to who's wearing the pants or when it comes to the power struggle in these relationships. I'm not sitting there saying women have to do what men do, what men say or nothing like that. But I'm saying that the dynamics have changed in relationships, that now women talk crazy to men and men just take the shit. I've seen it in my own personal life where it's alarming. It makes a nigga like me just say, I don't want nothing to do with that shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, I don't know, man. I hope that this motherfucking situation comes better, because Von Miller's a big nigga, bro. Von Miller's a big ass nigga. And if he's not finna be going to jail, he turned himself in. Money can beat a lot of things. That's his baby mom, that's his girlfriend. She can drop charges, all types of shit. So if criminally things not finna be taken care of when it comes to this Von Miller situation, I say professionally either way. If something happens criminally or not, his professional reputation should take a massive motherfucking hit. That's truly how I feel about this situation. But moving on, man. You know, the truth always slips out when you just let people talk. And you know, I come on this platform, we talked about culture vultures a lot. We talked about the dynamics and the disgruntled section of black people who get mad when they see, you know, white people twerking. When they see white women with braids, and they see white dudes with fucking locks, when they see any white person doing anything that has anything to do with hip hop.
Wow.
We've seen that uproar. You know what I mean? I've always been a person who's been on the opposite side, that who just truly didn't give a fuck. I always thought that's why we did the things that we do. You know what I'm saying? If I'm podcasting and I'm putting out this great content, yes, I do it for people who look like me, talk like me, and act like me. But damn, nigga, it's someone. I got white people that listen to the show. I think it's dope that they like the motherfucking me show with the amount of shit that I talk. I'm just being real with you. The amount of shit that I talk and the amount of white people that actually listen to the motherfucking me show blows my mind every motherfucking me time. But I think that's dope, because they can at least authenticate with the real. They know I'm speaking some real shit. And I'm not just being overly disrespectful against no motherfucking me body, unless they motherfucking me deserve it. So I always thought that's why we did the things we did, to influence other motherfuckers, other people. to bridge gaps, to bridge races, to bridge people together, show motherfuckers we are much more alike than we are different. I always thought that's why we did the things that we did. That's why I do the things that I do. And that's why a lot of people that I know do the things that they motherfucking me do. But you always got those few people who ain't really ever did anything, who ain't never really did nothing to establish that bridge to bring people together. They always find something wrong with something. It's always a motherfucker who ain't never really started nothing, been a part of nothing, had a vision. You know what I'm saying? They getting mad when they see other people of other walks of life doing the same motherfucking me thing because of said person. They don't, it's always that person. You never want to be that person. I always try to tell my little, you never want to be that person. You want to be the person that did something that got other motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying, influenced by, and you know what I'm saying, shit like that. You don't want to be the person that just in the crowd hating because you see a white person doing some shit that you presumably see only black person doing in the hood. My nigga, they were influenced. That's why the shit was done. That's why the shit was taken to a whole nother level. But I say all that to say is because, you know, there was this baseball game that took place. And there's this baseball player that's setting the motherfucking world on fire, bro. What's his nigga name?
Andrew McCutchen. Yeah, that 2013 reigning MVP. Batting 317. He's got the long dreadlocks, you know. Sometimes, Jim, I wish I had dreadlocks. I wish I was black. Oh, no. I didn't mean to say that.
Wow.
Nigga say sometimes he wish he was black. And I want to take that back. Andrew McCutchen been putting in work for a long motherfucking me time. I actually thought that was a guy for who the Cincinnati Reds, I believe his name is. What's the nigga name for the Reds? He tall, black. I think he got long motherfucking me locks as well. He be in that motherfucker knocking shit. It's always amazing to me in baseball that it's like every 2 years there's somebody new. Like, what the fuck happened to the nigga that's playing for the fucking Angels? What happened to Buddy? Like, he's supposed to be the greatest. They say he's supposed to be better than Babe Ruth. This nigga ain't never won shit. What's bro name? I can't remember bro name because he always hurt. But, like, he's a fantastic player. But it's just like in baseball, it's always somebody different. And in baseball, that's like the one sport that really don't revolve around winning the motherfucking me championship.
Wow.
Because I feel like the same motherfucking me teams always win a championship in baseball. Yankees, Dodgers, Houston Astros. You know what I'm saying? It's always them two. It's been like that for the last couple of years, I feel like. And I don't pay that much attention to baseball like that. You know, Cardinals won a few times when I was growing up. But it's like, I always felt the same motherfucking me, what, 6-7 teams win the motherfucking World Series? And there'd be great players. Like, what's the Asian dude name? He played for the Angels too, I believe. Or he did play for the Angels. And I may sound ignorant as fuck saying this shit. But he played for the Angels too, and that team fucking sucks. But he's the one they get talked about as being probably the greatest ever because he's a pitcher and he can knock home runs and shit like that. That's the one sport that don't revolve around motherfucking me winning championships and winning rings. But that is one of the main sports that's presumably dominated by, you know, Dominican Republics, Puerto Ricans, Cubans. That sport is dominated by, of course, much more other races than white people, but it's even with black people. Yes, when you come to football, you got black, it's predominantly dominated by black people. And then you got, you know what I'm saying, the others, then you got the white folks. Then in basketball, it's the same motherfucking thing. But when you go to baseball, it's much more, you know what I'm saying, Cuban and, you know what I'm saying, Dominican Republic and Puerto Ricans and shit like that. It's much more of them than it is black people than it is white people as well. So when it's like, it always blows my mind how every 2 years there's always a new star and it's always another international motherfucker. What's the last American? Mike Trout, that's his buddy name. Mike motherfucking me Trout. That's buddy name for the Angels. He's probably the last one. Bryce Harper. Yeah, Bryce Harper's probably the last one American that really reached the level of what, trying to be the face. But niggas ain't finna give Bryce Harper the face of the MLB. They don't even like Bryce Harper like that. He get the asshole treatment. Like, Aaron Judge ain't really living up to his hype. Yeah, he a slugger that played for the motherfucking Yankees, but Yankees ain't winning shit. But when you got these other niggas, like Houston Astros do their thing, Altuve and all them niggas, but Altuve, I'm pretty sure Altuve got something. He ain't black or he ain't motherfucking white, nigga.
Wow.
So it's like that sport has always been dominated by other races, and it's such an international sport. And it always blows my mind. It's like every 2 years, there's a new motherfucking me, best player in the motherfucking world. Who's dominating the fucking league and winning the championships and knocking the home runs and doing all that shit simultaneously? It just don't seem like it happens like it does in football. Like in football, if a nigga quarterback going out there and he got 50-plus touchdowns and he got 5,000 yards, more than likely, that nigga's in at least in the AFC or NFC championship game. That nigga's winning MVP. You know, his team success matches up with that shit. And basketball, if a nigga going out there averaging a triple-double, he in the playoffs at least. He more than likely going to get the MVP or be MVP conversation. You know what I'm saying? If a nigga go out there and he averaging 35-plus, it's a good chance his team is doing pretty motherfucking me good, unless he Bradley Beal. Unless he Brad Beal or some shit. But more than likely, that nigga's team is doing motherfucking me good. Especially if he's being pushed to be a face of a motherfucking me league. You know what I'm saying? So I went off on a tangent, but I say all that to say, and I braided that clip to say, we have to accept that all white people, bro, they want to be black until it's time to actually be fucking black.
Wow.
Like the whole culture vulture shit, man, I don't even care, but we cool as fuck, bro. We got rhythm. We look good doing shit. We look good dancing. We look good fucking. We look good cooking. We look good doing every motherfucking thing. We look good. We look cool doing everything. We put rhythm in every fucking thing. Our swag, the way we dress, the way we talk, everything, bro. So you can't be mad when motherfuckers look at that shit and say, damn, I want to be like that. But when it's really time to be black, when them headlights get behind you, you know what I'm saying? When it's time to go to work and the motherfucker me, the dynamics at work is different because of the skin color, because the way motherfuckers look at you, because of your name. When it's time to apply for jobs, and a lot of times your motherfucking me resume and your application get thrown in file 13 just based off your fucking name.
Wow.
See, everybody want to be black till it's time to be black. See, growing up, I used to get kind of offended at that shit. But you start to understand it, bro. You start to understand the life, the dynamics of life, man. How many people want to be white? Come on, man. What? Only time motherfuckers say something about wanting to be white is about the whole white power shit, the white privilege shit. That's it. It ain't gonna be about shit that they do that's cool. It ain't gonna be about shit that be doing, you know what I'm saying? Something that you see that they do in their community, their culture, that just gravitate. It ain't nothing about that shit, man. Nothing. You can't even say they family dynamics. It's a bunch of incest in white people family.
Wow.
Keep it a buck. It's a bunch of incest going on. It's a bunch of fucking uncles sleeping with cousins. It's a bunch of that shit. It's a bunch of it. There's nothing cool about white people, man. I fuck with white people, but white people know it. They want to be black too. Until them fucking headlights get behind their ass, man. And that's a white man tell you in the sport of baseball. It don't get no whiter than that, buddy. Wait, that wasn't fucking Jeff Van Gundy. That wasn't motherfucking me. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't for me, Al Michaels. No, that was a white man covering the sport of baseball, looking at a black man with long motherfucking me dreadlocks, saying, damn, I wish I had locks. Damn, I wish I was black too.
Wow.
The proof is right there, man. The proof is right, motherfucking me there. Can we play that one more motherfucking me time, please? Can we please play that?
Cutchin. Yeah, that 2013 reigning MVP. Batting 317. He's got the long dreadlocks, you know. Sometimes, Jim, I wish I had dreadlocks. I wish I was black. Oh, no. I didn't mean to say that.
Yes, you did, motherfucker. Yes, you did. You know the motherfucker me story, nigga. You heard them dreads do with the bands. Shout out to motherfucking me big sexy, nigga. But moving on, man. Let's get to Mikey Williams real fast, man. Mikey Williams has got another motherfucking chance.
Wow.
You know, it's very, very interesting, man. Mikey Williams has seemed to be very, very lined up to be fucked. Mikey Williams seemed to have a lot of evidence against him. Mikey Williams seemed to be one of those niggas who threw his career away, who had a very promising future. But Mikey Williams had pleaded guilty to one gun count of making criminal threats in connection to a March shooting. As part of his plea, he has to complete courses of gun safety and anger management before sentencing on August 12, 2024. Doing so, he can see his charge being reduced to a Mr. Fucking Mean.
Wow.
Talk about getting fucking off. And look, I'm not saying this to say Mikey Williams should have, he deserves some type of harsh punishment or something like that, because I'm going to be honest with you, man. I was introduced to Mikey Williams as being a guy, a kid on Bronny James' AAU team. Him taking over and being better than Bronny James, and him having a very motherfucking bright future. Him making statements of wanting to go to HBCU because of what Deion Sanders had did. That move, that statement alone, that got a lot of young kids of trying to go to HBCUs, no matter if he fulfilled on that commitment or not. Mikey Williams had just seemed to be one of those young kids who seemed to be a young icon, and had seemed to be someone we was going to see on that NBA level. And to see the situation that had took place, that with the shooting that took place back in March, it just seemed that he had thrown all that shit away. Whether or not you agree or whether or not you believe he should have got a much harsher sentence, that's not what I'm here to talk about, man. You know, I talked about earlier in the episode about guys getting a slap on the wrist. And you hope that they can learn from that shit. You hope that they can identify that, damn, I just got off with this shit. And I still have the opportunity to not go on and be free, you know what I'm saying, and live a regular motherfucking me life. I have the opportunity to go on and fucking and indulge in fucking life-changing money, generational wealth. Like I said, nigga, after 2021, that shit happened with Von Miller. Nigga, Von Miller signed another motherfucking me contract that was fucking gigantic. You know what I'm saying? Gigantic. And then even with this Mikey Williams situation, his NIL deals and all that, yeah, he had already been touching some M's, but not the situation has the possibility of being reduced down to a misdemeanor, not a felony. All he got to do is go to do some courses. You know he gonna do the courses. So now you tell me he can do the shit, get dropped down to a misdemeanor, still have that opportunity to become the star that we all truly believe he can be?
Wow.
Hey, look, man, when you get slapped on the wrist, man, you need to identify that's exactly what the fuck is happening to you. He needs to be surrounded by the right people. Please don't tell me, you know what I'm saying, I don't ever want to hear in that fucking interview that you're one of your OGs is fucking Ja Morant.
Wow.
Fuck with Ja. I can't wait to see Ja get back on the court. But I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see no more links. The same way Imani Bates had was saying his OG was Ja Morant. I just was like, oh my fucking God. It's the same Imani Bates that just had his own fucking gun situation not too long ago. That's why he fell so motherfucking far in the draft. I don't want to hear these niggas talking about how cool they is with Ja Morant. That's not the guy y'all need to be publicly saying y'all fucking cool with. Y'all can be great friends with that nigga behind the scenes. He will understand. Stop throwing that nigga's name out there. Not right now. Too soon. Too soon. But Mikey Williams, man, hopefully you understand what's going on. You learn from this lesson. Because there was a lot of fucking evidence that looked like you was finna get fucking sentenced. Witnesses. All types of shit. So to see that, you know what I'm saying, you getting off of this shit. You know, there's gonna be a great amount of people out there that think that you're getting away with this shit because of your name, because of your money, because of motherfucking me privilege. That very well may be the case. I'm not here to say it's not the case. As someone who was rooting for the young nigga, who wants to see the young nigga learn from his mistakes, I'm always for somebody fucking up and, you know, to learn from their mistakes and overcoming that shit, and then we get 10 years down the line and we even forget that them niggas even did shit. I'm all for that. I very much hope that this happens with the Mikey Williams situation. But in situations like motherfucking me, Von Miller, in situations like Miles Bridges, who we finna get into in a little bit, in situations like that, in situations like Ja Morant, time and time again, we've come across niggas who didn't learn from the slaps on the wrist. And I definitely don't want to see that happen against Mikey Williams. Not when shit is this motherfucking me serious. You know what I'm saying? Not when it's this motherfucking me deep. But moving on. You know, I think I talked about, I mentioned the Mikey Williams situation. I also want to talk about the Miles Bridges situation. You know, it's crazy. Like back in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? The 80s are famously or notoriously, you know, should I say, notoriously known for being infested in the NBA with crackheads and shit like that.
Wow.
You heard Jordan talk about it. You heard the other rumors from other athletes who played during those times. It's interesting because there's something going on in the NBA right now that's very, very, very alarming and something that people need to start taking interest in. You know, we identify the age of being crack infested. We have to identify the 2020s of the NBA of being fucking a domestic abuser and sexual abuser infested.
Wow.
Let's not get this shit twisted, man. It's some niggas in the league right now that done did some shit. It's some niggas in the league right now. It's a bunch of bad boys in the motherfucking me league right now. Say what you want. I love Ja Morant too. That nigga made noise. He made national news waving around guns. You got the Miles Bridges situation. Miles Bridges beating up women, beating up his girl. Not once. You know what I'm saying? You got motherfucking me situation. This nigga, he broke court orders and shit. Recently, he in the league going crazy again. This Josh Giddey situation is fucking crazy. We got updates on that shit. It's a bunch of niggas in the league right now that's fucking doing some wild ass activity, man. A bunch of them. This Josh Giddey situation is. I don't even like covering this shit because a part of my ego wants to say I told you so. A part of my ego wants to say I was right. But there's a huge part that's just like this shit is still disturbing as fuck. Like I always say on this podcast, once you put certain jackets on, my nigga, you can't take that motherfucker off. So the Josh Giddey information, it has been an update in the situation. And the update is this shit happened 2 years ago. Let me read. It says Josh Giddey's alleged encounter with an underage girl reportedly happened 2 years ago, and they apparently spent one night together. So like I told you,
wow.
Possible one night stand type shit. He met a chick at the club, tried to fuck type shit. But wrong thing is, this girl wasn't a chick. This girl was an underage girl. She was a girl, a little girl, Josh. The Thunder guard, who was 21, claimed to have believed the California team he was pictured shirtless with alongside in pics that leaked on social media. He believed she was 19 years old when they met at a nightclub in 2021. And this is according to the source who spoke to Australian site Cold Sports.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
That's damn near exactly what I said on the last episode. Now, I'm not here to sit here and say that, you know, there shouldn't be anything that happens to Josh Giddey. I'm not. But if you're sitting there telling me that the situation is he met a chick at the club and he thought the chick was a certain age, I don't know how sympathetic I will be in a situation like this. I don't know. I can't sit here and tell you why I think the punishment should be for Josh Giddey. Because if this is a blackmail situation, that's a whole other bag of bones. But in all honesty, bro, you committed that act. If you're telling me you had sex with this girl, bro, you committed that act. Now, we still haven't got to the part to where they're saying that sex took place. Even in that, it says in the alleged encounter. What's the alleged encounter? Because nowhere throughout all any of this shit has we saying that they actually had sex. We haven't seen that. We just haven't seen that. Now, people have to make sure, people have to keep that in the forefront. We haven't seen anything that said these people, that Josh Giddey and this girl had sex. Without the picture, without the just the shit that's on social media, that's a lot of shit has been presumed to be fake. We haven't had anything that's linked them to actually having sex with this girl. Now, we are, like I said, he's admitting to, or not him at directly admitting, but reports or to reports and sources are saying that he met Shorty and he thought Shorty was 19 when he met her at the motherfucking club. Now, people have to understand that there can be a lot of things that take place in a situation like this, man. If Shorty was underage in the club, Josh Giddey could ultimately end up suing that club. Because, nigga, how the fuck do you have underage girls roaming around through your motherfucking me club when you're supposed to be of age? At least 18 and up, I'm assuming, because if you thought Shorty was 19, you damn sure wasn't trying to buy her no drinks, right, Josh?
Wow.
But then again, I don't know where the fuck you met Shorty at. I don't know if this took place in Australia, California, Oklahoma City. We still don't know where this shit took place at. But it is very motherfucking interesting, bro. Like I said, details are coming out. And you still have the parents and the young and of the girl. The parents and the girl are not cooperating with NBA authorities or the police. They not cooperating at all. So that's why when I first read this, I kind of thought like, damn, did Josh Giddey come out and say this shit? If I'm Josh Giddey, I'm not saying a motherfucking thing. Like, hey, if Shorty not saying shit, I'm not saying shit. And you can say what you want about that. If she and her parents are not cooperating, then there's something about that situation that A, they either have worked something out. B, they understand the fucked up situation that their daughter probably put this nigga in. They not scumbags. That's probably a far-fetched one. But more than likely, they probably just worked something out. And look, man, who knows, man? Josh Giddey makes a lot of fucking money. He only on his rookie deal, right? I don't think Josh Giddey signed a bag yet. But Josh Giddey makes a lot of fucking money, bro. So, hey, who knows, man? Who fucking knows? But this is still more information coming out. If you mean to tell me that he met Shorty in a nightclub, if I'm Josh Giddey, look, first thing I'm doing, if this shit really hits the motherfucking me fan, I'm suing. Hey, if I'm going down, everybody going down this bitch. But I'm still saying it's not to remove Josh Giddey from any guilt. Like I said, we still don't actually know what the fuck happened. That's why I feel so uncomfortable even talking about this shit, because it's such a hot story that we have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. That's why I have to make sure I say I'm not presuming innocent or guilt on Josh Giddey. Because we still don't know what the fuck happened. And a lot of these stories that's coming out recently are really trying to push this story in a direction of he was damn near victimized somehow. And I don't want to do that just in case it's the complete motherfucking opposite. You know
what I mean? Wow.
And I'm doing that to be fair to not only to the young girl, but also be fair to Josh Giddey in the entire situation. I don't know what the fuck is going on. And maybe that's the best motherfucking me case scenario for Josh Giddey that really nobody truly knows. Because we can't be defined or definite with any of our answers or any of our motherfucking me suggestions of punishment unless we truly know what the fuck happened. And if they not cooperating, I get this shit to what, All-Star break? I get this shit to All-Star break to motherfuckers stop really looking for questions. To be completely honest with you, don't let Shorty turn 18 on motherfuckers. Don't let Shorty turn 18. We still ain't got answers. She turned 21. We still ain't got answers, man. Nobody gonna give a fuck about this shit. That's just the facts, bro. As fucked up as this world is, that's the facts. I don't make the rules, man. Yeah, motherfuckers made the rules. I'm just telling you how motherfuckers is finding loopholes and that shit. As sick as motherfuckers may believe it is. That's what the fuck is truly motherfucking going on. But moving on, man. You know, I want to get into Mike Tyson real fast. You know, Mike Tyson's being sued. Remember that clip that surfaced a few years ago about Mike Tyson on the airplane and the white man was like fucking with Mike Tyson, like all in his ear and shit. And Mike Tyson finally got enough of that shit and turned around and started beating his ass.
Wow.
Remember that clip? Like, I was always surprised that Mike Tyson wasn't like, facing like some real, real serious shit with that shit. Well, apparently the man is actually now suing Mike Tyson. He's suing Mike Tyson because it's really some bullshit, but you got to understand situations like this, especially when niggas got money and they going into celebrity. Mike Tyson is facing a pre-litigation settlement demand for $450,000 from a man who he beat up on a JetBlue flight. Back in 2022, Tyson was caught on camera beating up a passenger, Melvin Townsend. The man says his life has been hard since the incident, and he has to deal with severe headache and neck pain. And he is still suffering with the effects of the assault till this motherfucking day.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie to you. I believe it. I believe your neck is fucked up. I believe your back hurt. I believe every day you have flashbacks and get the chills. You know, so every time a motherfucker slam a door around you or some shit, nigga. Mike Tyson hit hard as a motherfucker. Did you see when him and Roy Jones Jr. had that little exhibition? He was hitting Roy Jones Jr. hard as a motherfucker. Nigga, Roy Jones Jr. was getting lifted off his feet every time he got hit in the ribs, my nigga. That was some real shit. That was some real ass shit. So I believe you, Melvin Townsend, you fucked up out here. But Townsend's lawyer also said he lost several jobs because of the incident and can't pay much for his ongoing medical care. Tyson's lawyers have said this is just an attempted shakedown. They have said they have received a shakedown letter related to some instigators' harassment of Mike a year ago. And in the aftermath, there will be no shakedown payment. So Mike Tyson's lawyers just came out and said, nigga, we stand on business, nigga. Have you seen King Harris? That's how people's, nigga. We stand on business. We ain't selling for no motherfucking me shakedown money. We do not negotiate with terrorists.
Wow.
And I'll be honest with you. The situation is interesting because is it fucked up that dude is suing Mike Tyson? Absolutely. Do I think he'll get some money from this situation? Not really. I don't really think so. But Mike Tyson did beat that nigga ass on camera. And this really just goes to the fears of being successful. When you're successful, bro, these are the risks that you take every motherfucking day. People can sue you for any motherfucking thing. $450,000 is a lot of fucking money. I don't give a fuck who you are. Especially Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson has lost a lot of fucking money in his life. So no matter how much money he's recouped back, $450,000 hit is a $450,000 hit for a nigga that ain't lost at all. You monitoring bank accounts a lot more differently.
Like, wow.
Trust and believe. So I think it's fucked up to do to someone, but I also think that that's just the way it is in life, man. I also think that when he was instigating and fucking with Mike Tyson from the get-go, that this was part of the plan. There's no way you fucking with a nigga that you know knock niggas' heads off without a plan. You're not just doing that for fun. Why are you doing? You may have been drunk. But nigga, even when I'm fucking off the bottle and off the tequila shots, nigga, I come up with some master fucking plans, nigga. So I think this shit was a part of the plan from day motherfucking me one to get into an altercation with Mike Tyson, who we all know is a bit unhinged. If there's any motherfucking me boxer or just stick with boxing. What boxers do I think you can possibly get an incident out of? Let's just be real with the situation. Mike Tyson. Deontay Wilder. I think them two niggas, who we all can identify as a bit unhinged, I think them two niggas primarily will be niggas that a random fucking stranger, if they seen them at an airport, they seen them at a fucking cafe, a barista, or some shit like that, they can get into an incident with them. Now, if it's fucking Floyd Mayweather, no, he got too much security. If it's Tyson Fury, no. Tyson Fury pretty much clown niggas. If it's motherfucking Anthony Joshua, he too pussy. We already know hell no. Canelo ain't nobody that motherfucking me crazy. Canelo got too much security as well. Terrence Crawford, he'll probably be third on that list. I think if a nigga seen Terrence Crawford out and about and said some wild shit to Terrence Crawford would fucking say something to him. But Mike Tyson, abso-fucking-lute. Deontay Wilder, abso-fucking-lute. So I think that shit was part of the plan, man. Niggas is master manipulators out here in this world, man. Niggas is doing shit for views. Niggas is doing shit for clicks. Niggas is doing shit for clout. You best believe niggas is doing shit for the fucking bag.
Wow.
Nigga, there was a show called Fear Factor. There was a show called Fear Factor, my nigga. Niggas ate motherfucking me Madagascar cockroaches, you know what I'm saying, for motherfucking 16 hours straight for $100. You think a nigga won't get his ass beat for $450,000 against Mike Tyson? Come the fuck on, man. Come on, man. niggas wasn't getting that paid that much to get knocked out in a real professional match with that nigga back in the day, man. That nigga Melvin Townsend ain't that motherfucking me stupid, man. But that is the fears of being successful in this world. That is the very much, but you're not being, you don't get treated as a normal human being when you're successful. You don't get to be emotional when you're successful. You don't get to make brash decisions when you're successful. When you broke as a motherfucker, come on, man, that's your life. YOLO. That's your fucking life. But when you're successful, nah, man, you can't make those type of motherfucking decisions. And I get it. I really motherfucking me do. I truly do. But moving on, man, before we get the fuck up out of here, you know, I want to get into this Derek Chauvin situation. Derek Chauvin, the man who killed George Floyd, had his knee on George Floyd's neck. Derek Chauvin is serving his prison sentence out here in Arizona. He's in the Arizona Max Facility Prison. He's been stabbed over 22 times.
Wow.
And he survived. You know, when I first got this news, I didn't want to report on it because they say he was just stabbed. But when I got the news he was stabbed 22 times, I said, now I got to talk about this shit. Because, look, man, I don't want to be morbid. I don't want to, you know, wish things. I don't want to do none of that shit. But I'm the type of person, man, I really believe in karma. I really believe in revenge. I really believe in holding grudges. I believe in getting my get back, man. I really do. And if you know me, then you know I'm psycho with this shit. I'm psycho with that shit. So it was just like certain niggas, man, like that Derek Chauvin. I always wonder, like, well, what happened to Derek Chauvin when he go to prison? What happened to the nigga George Zimmerman? Why ain't shit happened to George Zimmerman? But like, I'm surprised ain't shit happened to George Zimmerman. And I'm not trying to, you know what I'm saying, start no motherfucking me situations. But I always thought that would be a much, much more easier solution of trying to get at the niggas who actually caused all this shit than niggas roaming the streets and starting riots and tearing down and burning down fucking buildings and shit.
Wow. Me personally,
I just thought, you know what I'm saying, option A would have been a better motherfucking resolution to shit. But I've always been surprised that these niggas who commit these such heinous acts never really faced, you know what I'm saying, conflict later on in life. So it was interesting seeing that Derek Chauvin had been stabbed 22 times, let alone survive the shit. And look, man, you got people out there that believe you get sentenced to a crime. I say you get whatever crime it is, you get 5-6 years. Some people believe that once you do your 5 to 6 years, you come out, you serve your time, and you get the right to go on and live your life and try to better your situation and, you know what I'm saying, become a normal human being again. I don't subscribe to that way of thinking. Certain things, I don't give a fuck. Certain things, nigga, you did that shit. Certain things, ain't no coming back from. Certain things, bro, it just ain't no coming back from. You murder somebody, bro, and you only get 16, 20 years, and you did it, you get 26, however fuck long you get, but you was so young that you get out, you still get to be in your 50s or some shit and come out and watch 4K television. Come on, man.
Wow.
Fuck no, you finna play the PS5, nigga, use DoorDash and all this good shit we got in the motherfucking world in 2023. And yo, 50s, nigga, you can get bodied, bro. You can't, there has to be repercussions for shit like that. That 20, 30 years, whatever you served, ain't no, just no time served, and people supposed to let you be. Fuck no, because the people that you took off this earth, or the people you committed those heinous acts to, nigga, their life was changed, nigga, when you committed that shit. You ruined and took in lives? Fuck no. Ain't no coming back from that. Ain't no coming back from that. But That's just how I feel about the situation. Ain't no fucking coming back from shit like that. But I do feel like there has to be some type of action taking place towards certain niggas like a Derek Chauvin, like a George Zimmerman. And to see that a nigga actually did something to him, it's like, damn, that's all right. What's the nigga name from that movie, that show that was on Netflix about bro was eating all the people, man? Damn, what's bro name? I can't even think of the nigga name right now, bro. It wasn't Ted Bundy. I can't even think of the nigga name, bro. I'm drawing a blank. My bad, bro. But yeah, I know the story I'm talking about. The show that I was talking about with old boy, he was killing all the black kids, the black gay kids and shit like that, eating them and shit like that. And then when he went to prison, he eventually got his ass beaten, got killed by a black dude with like a fucking a dumbbell or some shit like that. Like, that shit don't happen as often as you really think it does. It just doesn't. And I've always been surprised about that, because unless these niggas in solitary confinement for their whole sentence, you can't sit there and tell me these niggas ain't targets. You can't sit there and tell me that niggas in prison ain't salivating at the mouth to take care of the nigga that's been doing this shit and commit these heinous acts. But you can't tell me that's not the motherfucking me case, man. I wouldn't believe it. You know, me personally, I wouldn't motherfucking me believe it. But I asked all the friends of the show, is that enough? You know, for somebody like George Floyd, who had flaws of his own, for his family, how do you think they feel? Do you think that's enough? Okay, so dude finna be in prison for, what did they give Derek Chauvin? Did they give Derek Chauvin life? He got his prison sentence. He got this attempt on his life. Somebody started stabbing him 22 times. Is that enough? Is that enough? Do we think that's enough? And I'm not, it's not for me to judge. You know, I'm not trying to say put hits or nothing like that. I'm just saying, is that a motherfucking enough? Because we don't hear about this shit quite often. And I always tell you how I get so disturbed with how the African American community is just so motherfucking forgiving. That when niggas commit these heinous acts, we always be the ones that come out and, you know, talking about God and how we forgive motherfuckers and all that bullshit. I don't subscribe to that way of thinking. Me personally, as soon as this nigga heal the fuck up and he get out the motherfucking me, the med unit, he back on motherfucking me on the yard. Hey, nigga. Hey, it is what it is. It is what the fuck it is. The same way niggas who get committed for raping and fucking with them kids and shit like that, when they go to prison and it's fucking green light on their asshole, it's the same thing for niggas like Derek Chauvin. You green lit, buddy. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But are you green lit, nigga? Unless they come out and tell me Derek Chauvin's in that bitch hogging all the motherfucking cigarettes.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? He had clientele. He had monopoly on the cigarettes in that bitch. Unless they tell me that's what Derek Chauvin was doing, we can't do shit but assume this has something to do with the fuck he did to George Floyd. We can't do nothing but assume that shit. And if that's the motherfucking me case, you green lit, nigga. You knew that. You knew that going in. Like I said, if them fucking molesters and rapists be green lit, nigga, you're green lit. And that story was too big for you to go anywhere in America and niggas not know what the fuck happened. You green lit, bro. You made your motherfucking me bad, nigga. You best get motherfucking me comfy, my boy. Real motherfucking me talk. That nigga survived 22 stab wounds, goddamn. Do a nigga deserve to be alive after you survive 22 stab wounds? I mean, that's 22. Grant, they ain't got the motherfucking me sharpest you knives in the motherfucking me in the prison. I don't know if it was a straight sharp ass shank. But I don't know how sharp some shit got to be for you to get stabbed 22 times and not die. I mean, fuck. That nigga, man, fuck. Shit, that's a hell of a motherfucking survival story, I tell you that. But fuck you, nigga. Get ready for round motherfucking me too, Derek. Round two, fight. Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and leave it up at that, man. Episode 190, man. Great ass episode on the ground, 200, thin line between genius and insanity. We can go ahead and wrap it up at that, man. Let's run through the docket, make sure we didn't miss nothing. We got the Von Miller story, him being back at it, motherfuckers acting like they surprised. We talked about the truth always slipping out. They want to be us until shit get real. We Talked about Mikey Williams getting another chance at being a pro basketball player. Talked about Mike Tyson being sued, not showing the danger of being successful. Talked about the NBA being infested again, but this time with domestic abuse and niggas being with that bad boy image. And we talked about Derek Chauvin. Derek Chauvin being surviving a brutal attempt on his life, surviving a 22 stab wound. Jesus
Christ. Wow.
22 is a lot. We also gave updates on the Josh Giddey situation, man. Like I said, more information will be coming out as the days go on about this Josh Giddey situation. So I will continue to update all the motherfucking friends of the show with that information as I receive it. But with that being said, yeah, man, DJ, drop that fire ass beat, my boy. Yeah, man, great episode. Episode 190, man. Thin line between jeans and insanity. Hosted by yours truly, OG. Ash, who the fuck it is, man. Great ass episode, if I do say so myself, man. And with that being said, you know how I can put on this side, man. It's all of these ways. Never let them side trip you with the bullshit. Always keep the main thing. Stay safe, stay sharp, stay sane. And how just the episode, man. We out this motherfucker. Peace. Fuck it up. Hey, great ass episode, man. Hey, yo, I just came across this video. This nigga Gilbert Arenas going in on my cousin, bro. This shit like a over two hour long live stream this nigga did on YouTube, man. I'm so fucking conflicted, man. I turned it on, heard the first like 6 minutes, and turned that motherfucker off. I don't even know what to say, man. I don't even know what I should say. I'm trying to lock in that interview with my cousin, man. But you know how that shit go, man. I ain't really got no word back, man. So I want to stand on business bad, but can I really stand on business if I'm not really getting, you know what I'm saying, the inside information? I mean,
wow.
Motherfuckers got me looking at this situation like I'm like, this is LeBron James or something. I don't know shit. I got to go look at what sports and the ESPN is saying and Twitter is saying about this shit. For me to get information, when this is my actual motherfucking me blood cousin, so I don't really know, man. Hopefully we can get that interview, man. We can get that shit locked and get some information out, man. But he going in on my cousin, man. So all I think I should really say at this point in time to keep things fair and keep shit cool in my family right now is, you know what I'm saying, maintain my image of saying, yeah, man, fuck Gilbert Arenas, man. Fuck all that hibachi shit. Fuck all that Agent Zero shit. Fuck all that getting me to love the game of basketball shit.
Wow.
Fuck all that, man. You going a little too hard on my motherfucking cousin, you bitch ass nigga, you. Nah, man, this shit hella funny, man. This shit is conflicting, man. Hopefully I get some more information about what's going on. And y'all be the first people I come and bring that information to, man. So who fuck knows, man. But this shit is getting kind of crazy. Like I said, I know how hard that nigga Gilbert Arenas go on shit. And to know if this shit is right, you know what I'm saying? I'm rubbing elbows with the situation. I'm trying to insert myself in this shit. So we shall see. We shall motherfucking me see, man. But with that being said, episode 190, man. We wrapping up phase two very motherfucking me soon. On the grind 200. I love all y'all who love me. Let's keep Bush Empire break by motherfucking me break. Tell a friend that OG Hash got a motherfucking me show. Let's keep going, man. Let's keep building this motherfucking empires. Get this shit in the right motherfucking me hands, man. But with that being said, I'll let y'all know, holler at y'all, man. Peace.
Welcome to Raw is
OG.
Ash, man, you know the fuck they never play on me, man.
You dig. Bitch.